And let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want to tackle part 2 here of a message that I did not get through last Sunday night. We've been doing a series called Making Marriage Work. Now, all right, what's the first statement in your handout? Submission is a what? Submission, look at your handout. Submission is a what word? It's a Bible word. And it's a God-ordained concept. Hey, is submission just found in marriage? Yes or no? No, it's everywhere. God has established authority everywhere we turn. And He expects submission to that authority. For instance, we talked about governmental authority and how God expects to submit to governmental authority. We talked about parental authority and how God expects children to obey their parents and to submit to their authority. We talked about church authority and how that God has put spiritual leadership in the church. We talked about how there's authority at the workplace and how God expects workers to come under the submission there of those that are over them in the workplace. And then there's Christ's authority over the church, and that certainly is something that we read in Ephesians 1, how that Christ has authority over the church, the body of Christ, as a whole. So the biblical principle of authority and submission, while it is found in marriage, it is not simply only found in marriage. Submission is a wonderful Christian virtue that applies to every Christian in many different ways. You know, there's some guys out there, they think that submission is only found in regards to the marriage relationship. But the principle of submission applies to every Christian, male and female. For instance, look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 21. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So submission is a Christian virtue. It's a Christ-like virtue. Remember what we said last week? Who is our ultimate example of a submissive spirit? Jesus Christ. When we are submissive to the God-ordained authority in our life, we're acting like who? Like Christ. When Christ came to the earth, He came and He had a submissive spirit to the Father. Was He equal with the Father? Yes, they were equal in essence. And they were equal in their person. Okay, so it wasn't a question of Christ being inferior to the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus Christ voluntarily submitted Himself to the authority of the Father as He ministered here on the earth. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." He said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." That's what Christ said. "I can of mine own self do nothing." Christ was totally submitted to the Father in all things. Well, that same spirit is to be found in us. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you," which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, husband and wives, are they equal? Absolutely, they're equal. Equal in value, but do they have the same role in the marriage? No, they have different roles. Equality doesn't mean sameness. And so we've looked at the different roles. We looked at the role of the male. We looked at the role of the female. God created them, male and female. They're distinct. They're different. They're equal in value, but yet they've been created differently. You've got a different function in the marriage than your spouse does. And so as you figure out what your biblical role is and fulfill it, as your spouse figures out what their biblical role is and fulfills it, that's when you have that mutual satisfaction taking place in the marriage relationship. But when I try to fulfill my wife's role or she tries to do my role, that's when friction comes. That's when problems come in that relationship. And so we're to have the Spirit of Christ. We're to have that submissive heart, that submissive spirit. And when we rebel against the biblical attitude of submission, then we're manifesting a non-Christ-like spirit. When we have a rebellious, not just marriage, when we have a rebellious attitude towards our employer, that's wrong. When we have a rebellious attitude towards leadership within the local church, that's wrong. When we have a rebellious attitude towards governmental authority, that's wrong. When children have, or teenagers have, a rebellious attitude towards their parents, that's wrong. Now, folks, listen, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's to the government, whether it's parents, whether it's the church, listen, my friend, submission is an important Christian virtue. Who is the author of rebellion? Satan. Who's the author of lawlessness? Satan is. But who is the author of... What's the verse? God is not the author of confusion. Okay, so who is? Satan. Satan loves chaos. He loves confusion. Satan loves it when there's rebellion in the home. He loves it when you've got people just trampling down the whole concept of authority within the home. Oh, he loves that. Satan loves it when the whole concept of authority begins to break down in society. And people begin, hey, we're going to study in the 20 C's. We didn't finish 8, the 8th C. When we finish the 8th C in the 20 C's, you know what you're going to find out about the period of the judges? Okay, where there was no king in Israel. And we call it the period of the judges. What you're going to find is a verse that describes that time period in your Bible. And it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can I just submit to you, that is a recipe for chaos and confusion. And that's exactly what you have when you read the book of Judges. Chaos, confusion, it's a terrible time period in Israel's history. Why? Because the principle of authority began to break down. And when the principle of submission and authority begins to break down in the home, it begins to break down in society, it begins to break down with children, then you know that you've got some serious issues on your hand. Now, there's a lot of women that recoil at the very thought of, or the very mentioning of the word submission. And here's why. It's simply because they don't possess a proper understanding of this wonderful Christian, Christ-like attribute. Many men misuse the word. Many men think they're above submission. They don't think it applies to them. And so many men have misused it. They've abused the word. Well, the purpose of this lesson is I want to bring clarity. I want to bring insight to the biblical principle of submission. Okay? Submission is not the wife's role. Okay? She has a vibrant, active, contributing role in the marriage, which we've already studied. This is the biblical response of her to his role. Now, there is a biblical response that he's to have to her role. And we're going to look at that next Sunday night. But her response to his... And by the way, what is the man's role? The man's role is one of leadership in the home. God created the man to be the leader, to be the provider, to be the one that is setting the pace and leading that family. Well, submission is her biblical response to his role. And then now she has an active, contributing, vibrant role, and there's a response he's to have to her role, which we'll look at next week. But for tonight, I want to show you about five things about a wife's submission and what it does to her marriage relationship when she understands this biblical principle. Okay, number one, a wife's submission affirms her husband's role of leadership. It affirms her husband's role of leadership. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. And remember, head just means, it speaks of leadership. Doesn't mean boss. Doesn't mean dictator. Means he's the leader. It says, the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject, that's us, by the way, the church, that's male and female. As we are subject, as we live in submission unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, look up here. Clearly, the husband is to be the God-appointed leader of his home, just as Christ is the God-appointed leader or head of the church. This entire text, Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, it revolves around the husband and the kind of leader that he's supposed to be. His leadership, as we've learned, is to be modeled after Christ's leadership. He's to be a servant leader like Christ was. Now, I got to be honest with you. That's a difficult task, okay, for any man. With the flesh and the world and Satan fighting men every step of the way, it's a difficult task to be a godly leader. Can I get an amen, guys? It's a difficult thing to be a godly leader of your home. That's no small task, to set the pace, to set the example, to be a servant leader. And then, see, what happens is a lot of times, that's a hard enough task in and of itself. But then many times, if a guy gets a wife who demeans him or competes with him or criticizes him, then a lot of guys, what they do, it's not right, they'll respond with nothing resembling Christ-like servant leadership. They will retreat from their high and holy calling, and they'll start concentrating on themselves, and they'll start concentrating on their own desires. And that's not right, and it doesn't excuse it, but I'm giving you reality. I'm telling you what happens many times is that when women want to try to take the reins, and they want to try to, you know, try to fulfill the husband's role, then many times what will happen, the husband will kind of shrug off his leadership responsibilities and just kind of move on. And in your handout, it says that when a wife takes the leadership role in the home, it's one of the worst mistakes that she can ever make for her marriage. It's one of the worst mistakes she can ever make when she decides, well, he's just not the leader he ought to be, so I'm going to take the lead of this home. That's one of the worst mistakes that she can ever make. And let me just say this, and remember this statement. Where wives seek to lead, husbands leave. And I don't necessarily mean physically. I don't mean divorce, and I don't mean leave their wife physically. I mean emotionally and mentally, that where wives lead, husbands leave. And they begin to abdicate their God-given responsibility. Most guys aren't going to fight their wives for the leadership of their home. They'll just turn it over and walk away. I mean, they may fight for a while. Finally, they just get tired of fighting, and they're just like, well, fine. And they just walk away from it. And everything in culture encourages them to do just that. Everything in their sinful nature encourages them to do that. And so if their own wives start fighting them for control, unfortunately, many men will just quickly abdicate. And the reality of marriage, okay, is this. Ladies, I'm talking to you. The reality of marriage is that your husband has been given an awesome responsibility that, quite frankly, it's beyond him. It's beyond him. And he needs your help to pull it off. He needs God's help, absolutely, but he also needs your help as a wife if he is to lead in a Christ-like, godly way. Submission means simply that the wife recognizes her husband's leadership, and she responds to him in a way that empowers him to lead. A man is naturally a protector, a provider, a deliverer. He wants to lead the way. It's just inside of men to be that way. Men are typically built that way. Something that we still laugh about to this day is one time, it was several years ago, I was out of town, I think on a pastoral retreat, and Denise just knew that somebody was in the house about 2 in the morning. And she just knew that somebody was in the house. And so we have a pretty good relationship with our neighbors across the street. And so she called me and said, "Dan." I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's 2 in the morning." I'm like, "Ugh." She's like, "Somebody's in the house." I said, "What?" She said, "Somebody's in the house." She said, "What do I do?" I'm like, "Well, call Bobby. He's their neighbor across the street. He always said, if you ever need anything, just call me." So I said, "Call Bobby." Now, you understand, he's 135 pounds soaking wet. Okay? Bobby is not a big guy at all. He is 135 pounds soaking wet, all right? And so he's just a little old skinny guy. Well, I guess she woke him up out of sleep, and he came over to the house at 2 in the morning with a billy club going through our house. Here's this little skinny man going through our house with a billy club at 2 in the morning. But you want to know what's funny about that thing? He didn't send his wife over. Did he? And I believe she could beat him up. I do. I love them to death. I married these folks. I love them to death. They're good friends of mine. She could beat him up. But yet, it's in a man. I mean, when she called and she needed deliverance and protecting, he didn't wake up his wife Robin and say, "Robin, Denise is having some issues over there. Here's my billy club. Go take care of it." No, he went. He went. Even though she may be bigger and stronger than him, he went. Why? Because God has put that in man. That's my point. And I know it's a silly illustration, but I hope you get what I'm saying. That's in man to be that way. Okay? And by the way, those are characteristics of Jesus Christ, our leader, is that he's a protector and he's a deliverer, you know. And so, you know, he's a provider. So when a wife has an attitude of submission, she's recognizing her husband's leadership. What she's saying is, "I fully expect you to lead in this relationship. And I can't tell you what that does for a man." When a woman has that attitude, there's no way to describe what that does for a man. When a woman just has that attitude, "Hey, I fully expect you to lead this family and to lead in this relationship." And it's the same way that the church should respond to Jesus Christ. "Hey, look, I don't expect to lead Christ." Do I? I don't expect to lead Jesus. I don't expect him to follow me. No. And you see, the way I am to respond to Christ, I expect Christ to lead the way. And so the way he leads the church, the Bible says that's the way a husband's to lead his wife. When you have an attitude of submission, you're saying, "I fully expect you to lead in this relationship." And like I said, that really does something for a man. But number two, the second principle is this. A wife's submission affirms her respect for her husband. A wife's submission affirms her respect for her husband. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." And look at this. It says, "The wife see that she reverence her husband." So that verse summarizes the text with two commands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. A husband, as we've already studied this, has an inherent need for his wife's respect. I can't explain it to you. All I can tell you is that it's true. Submission is a way of telling your husband, "I believe in you, I'm with you, you can do it, and I have confidence in you." It's a way of keeping him the leader even when he doesn't want to be the leader anymore. Okay? I tell you what, one of the most aggravating things for me, and it drives me insane, is a lot of times, you know, we'll decide we're going to go out and eat, and I'll say to my wife, "Where do you want to eat?" And she'll say, "I don't care. You decide." I don't want to decide. I've been making decisions all day, you know, and I don't feel like making a decision. "Where do you want to eat?" "I don't care. You decide." Now look, I know, honey, just as sure as I decide, you're going to tell me you don't like it. So you just tell me, "Where do you want to go eat?" And she'll say, "Wherever you lead me, that's where we'll go." Okay? Drives me insane. You know what she's doing, though? She's going to make me make a decision. She's going to make me be the leader when I don't even want to be the leader. She does that with the kids all the time, too. You know, if decisions need to be made with the kids, you know, you do it. You're the leader of the home. I want you to make that decision on what the punishment should be or what this should be or what, you know, whether they should go here or go there. You decide. Now, you understand, my wife gives her input, okay? And it's not that she's incapable of making the decision. She's fully capable of making the decisions, okay? Fully capable. It's not that she's incapable. It's that many, and it's not every time that she does that, but there's many times when it's like she's crying out, "No, you're the leader. You be the leader. I want to just submit. I just want to follow. I want to be the follower. I want you to be the leader." And what that does is that shows respect, see, to me. And when a wife allows her husband that, it does something for a man. Ladies, what about a situation where the husband is not a godly leader and you really don't respect him? It's okay then to go ahead and run over him and take the leadership, right? Wrong. The Bible never says this. In fact, we're going to see later how that your submission is a testimony for Christ to him. that may end up bringing him to Christ. In your handout, it says, even though you may not respect the person, you respect the position. And you say, you know what? God has put him in the position as my husband, and I'm going to show respect for that position by maintaining a submissive heart and a submissive spirit. Number three, a wife's submission affirms her faith in Jesus. I want you to look with me, please, at Ephesians 5:22. Very important verse, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then what's the last four words? As unto the Lord. Now, that's pretty powerful right there, isn't it? As unto the Lord. Submit as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18 reiterates that. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now listen to this. As it is fit in the Lord. In your handout, it says, anytime we submit to the leadership of another person, it's a faith issue. Anytime we submit to the authority of another person, our leadership, it's a faith issue. In your handout, it says, by faith, we recognize that God has placed that leader in our life, and therefore we submit to their leadership as if Christ himself were leading us. For example, look at Ephesians 6, please. Go over to Ephesians 6 and look at verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Look at this, in singleness of your heart. Now, how am I to submit? As what? Unto Christ, as if Christ himself were leading me. Isn't that interesting? It says there in verse 7, with goodwill doing service. It's talking about really the employee-employer relationship. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Same thing with governmental leaders. It teaches the same principle in Romans 13. Now, there's an important note here that I really want to make sure that you hear. A biblically submissive wife's focus is not on enabling wrong behavior in her husband, but it is on empowering her husband to pursue right behavior, to become the man God wants him to be and the leader that God wants him to be. You see, ultimately we serve Jesus Christ, and Christ never asks us to disobey his word. No husband has absolute authority. Only Christ and his word has that. Therefore, says in your handout, a wife should never submit to her husband's evil demands or sinful schemes. So when we talk about obeying that authority in our life as unto Christ or as unto the Lord, that means we submit to them as if we're submitting to Christ. But wait a minute, Christ never leads us to disobey the Word of God. So if the leader in our life would ask us to disobey the Word of God, then of course that's where we draw the line. And many times husbands that are ungodly will try to possibly lead their wife in an evil or an ungodly way and lead her into ungodly things, well, then what does she do? She's got a biblical duty to confront her husband's sin and admonish him to obey God as a loving and as a submissive partner. Many times, unfortunately, men will use their headship for evil purposes. And so when I talk about this thing of submitting as unto the Lord, understand the Lord wouldn't ask us to disobey his word. So there is a line that's drawn there. And as I said before, no husband has absolute authority. Only Christ and his word has that. Please remember that. And I hit this before and I'm going to hit it again. That if a man is the head of his home, that's a responsibility to serve and to lead his home as a servant leader. And if a husband is going to abuse that headship responsibility, not privilege, it's a headship responsibility. And if he's going to abuse that responsibility and possibly use it to abuse his wife, okay, then that needs to be confronted. That needs to be dealt with. If a husband is being abusive to his wife, she needs to get help. If it's physical abuse, then she needs to call 911, and she needs to know that this church will stand behind her in that. If it's mental abuse, or she needs to seek help from her local church. Again, her submitting to her husband, That's not to enable him in wrong behavior. No, it's to empower him to pursue right behavior. She's there to help him to be the man that God wants him to be and the leader that God wants him to be. Not to just be his doormat and to just to do whatever sinful scheme enters into his mind and just participate and go right along with it. No, no, no. Listen, she needs to stand up and she needs to help her husband to overcome that sin and to be the godly leader that God wants him to be. Do y'all understand that tonight? Do you see what I'm saying there? Okay, that's very important. Very, very important. Because there's a lot of kooky stuff out there that's preached in churches, you know, about this thing of submission. And almost like that you know, well, you just need to be submissive even to the point of abuse, and that, you know, look, let me tell you something. God never called any woman to be a man's punching bag, okay? And that's wrong, that's evil, that's wicked, and that needs to be confronted, and that needs to be dealt with, and the police need to be brought, and everything else, okay? You are not to enable him in sinful behavior. That's not what submission is. Number four, a wife's submission affirms the oneness of their relationship. A wife's submission affirms the oneness of their relationship. Please go to Ephesians 5:22. And I want to bring out something here again from this verse that I think is important. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your what? Own husbands, as unto the Lord. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. Can I tell you something right now? She does not have to submit to anyone else's husband, just her own. Amen. Some guys I've seen in churches throughout the years, that some guys get on this submission kick, you know. And so they think, based on a biblical principle of submission, they think they ought to be able to just boss around any female they want to boss around. And that she ought to obey them. Little advice. Don't try that with my wife. Don't try that. Don't try to boss around my wife, okay? Because she knows she's never given me a minute's problem, but she will you. She will you, friend. Okay? And you see, the Bible says that they submit unto their, it affirms their oneness, see, with their spouse. You're one with your spouse. So that's where that submissive attitude comes in. Don't think for a minute you're going to boss around my wife and tell her what to do. And it's the same principle with me. I mean, Pastor Larry, I've got no right to boss around his wife, Melissa. I got no right to do that. Oh, I'm the pastor, yeah, and I'm in authority. Sure, but that doesn't give me any right to boss around his wife. No. You see, submission affirms the oneness of your relationship with your spouse. You know what the attitude is? Here it is. You ready? It's her submission, her submissive spirit to let him be the leader. She wants him to be the leader. She wants to let him lead. That submissive spirit says, you are my man and nobody else's. You are the one that I'm one with. You are the one I respect. You're the one I listen to because you're my man. See, that affirms that oneness. Now, here's what happens. This is where it gets a little tricky. Many times a wife works outside the home, and we've discussed this. Not, you know, whether that, it's not necessarily right or wrong. That's something that you have to apply biblical principles to. But let's say that a wife works outside the home. Well, many times what happens is she lives to please the boss at work. And sometimes, you know what can happen? She lives to please him more than she does her own husband. It got real quiet in here. Can I submit to you that is not healthy and that's very dangerous? You know why? She's not one with her boss. But many times her sense of value is coming from her job. And her boss's desire takes precedence over her husband's desires. And that's wrong. Last point. A wife's submission is a powerful testimony to her husband. Let's turn real quickly to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to look for a handout here. Is there a handout over here, Arla?
No more
handouts? Oh, thank you. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. And let's look over there and let's look at this text before we put a caboose on this. 1 Peter, did I say 5? I meant 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter, we were in 5 this morning. I probably had that on my mind. 1 Peter 3, look at verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your what? There it is again, own husbands. That if any obey not the word, in other words, your husband is not an obeyer of the word of God. He's not a believer. They also may without the word be won by the conversation, that means the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold, the husbands behold you ladies, your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now I want you to notice that she doesn't influence her ungodly husband by lecturing, criticizing, nagging, preaching, and being a little boss. That is not going to influence a man towards God. Verses 3 and 4 are a picture of a woman with a beautiful heart. It says in verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. Okay. Now, obviously, we know this doesn't mean that she can't do any of that, because if she couldn't put on clothing, we'd have a problem, right? She's got to put on clothes. So we know this isn't a command to not, you know, to never, ever put on clothes or wear any kind of jewelry or anything like that. Here's the point, okay? Her adorning. In other words, what she's all about, where the focus is. What is it that she's pointing to? Is she pointing to her outward adorning? Or verse 4, it says, let it be. This is what she needs to be adorned with. This is what needs to be the focus. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of what? Great price. So the focus here is on the inner being, the spirit. That goes a long way with a man. You know, a woman doesn't have to be an outward beauty queen to win the heart of her husband. You know, you bring him to Christ by him beholding your beautiful heart. Your beautiful heart. And Proverbs, I think it's in your handout there, Proverbs describes a woman who's in contrast to this. Just a few verses here we'll look at. This is a lady in contrast to the 1 Peter 3 woman. And it says, Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Woo! Wow. That doesn't need any commentary, does it? Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You're better to go get you a tent, go out here, set you up a camp out in the woods, than to try to live in a house with an angry and a contentious woman. This is the woman that's opposite of the woman with the meek and quiet spirit in 1 Peter 3. Okay? And again, meek and quiet spirit, that I don't think that means that, you know, she's just little pansy and she never has an opinion and she no. Proverbs 31 is it's a strong woman that's a virtuous woman. It's not that she's weak. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek does not mean weak. Okay? meek and quiet spirit, it just means that she's just not just, you know, bossy and boisterous and giving orders and just all, you know, just like this. No, she's not a brawling woman. She's not a contentious, just an angry woman, always mad about something. No, she's got that sweet spirit about her. It says in Proverbs 27:15 there in your handout, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Aren't those funny verses? Do you want to win the heart of your husband? Show him respect and honor and try to please him. Again, not by disobeying God, but just seek to please him. And you will win the heart of your husband, I guarantee you. Now, let's look at this. What biblical submission is not? Okay, number one, submission is not the wife's core role in marriage. Okay? It is her Christ-like response to her husband's role that energizes him to be the leader that God wants him to be. Again, submission isn't her core role. We talked about her core role. It's that power of being there, lover of her husband, lover of her children, that nurturer, that one in the home that's the glue that kind of keeps everything together in the home. She does those things that she's good at, those things that her husband's not good at all. And so submission isn't her core role. It's her response to his core role of leadership that empowers him and energizes him to be that leader that God wants him to be. Number two, submission is not the result of a forced dictatorship. You see, true submission is a choice that begins in the heart. Let me ask you something. Does Christ force his will upon us? No, he invites us to follow him. He invites us to follow his example. He says, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. He says, look, you follow God and follow Christ. But he admonishes us to follow him, but it's not a forced dictatorship. No, it's a choice of our will. And guys, listen, you can forget using this submission thing as a billy club to bully your wife around because it's not going to work, okay? If you have to announce that you're the leader and that she needs to submit, you've already lost it, guys. I hate to tell you that, but, you know, that ain't going to work. That billy club, you might as well put that up because that's not going to work. Even if you could achieve the desired result that you're looking for, the immediate result, in her heart she would resent and despise you. So even if you could pull out the submission card and try to pound her with it, okay, she's still going to resent you in her heart. Okay, so submission's not the result of a forced dictatorship. You want to know what it is? It's a response to your godly leadership, and she's going to respond to your leadership with that way to enable you and energize you to be able to lead the home and to lead in the relationship. Number three, submission is not subjecting oneself to abusive and sinful behavior. And I've already hit on that, so I'm not going to belabor that. But submission isn't you submitting to your husband's abusive, sinful behavior. Okay? All right, now, the man has a response that he is to have to her role. We see her response to his role, but what's his response to her role? Next week, next Sunday night, I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, but I hope you'll be faithful if you're in town and be here, because next Sunday night, we will continue this series, okay? Thank you so much for coming tonight. I hope that's been a help to you in helping you to understand biblical submission. What a great Christian virtue that it is.